And welcome to Food for Thought. I'm Dee Dee McGrail.
Hi guys, I'm Laura Mangone.
And Vinny B.
It was a slow intake there.
I had to think about what my name was again.
You are working your tail off.
Not really. Just, you know, frustrated with being a chef for teenagers because they're so
persnickety,
fickle and persnickety to the point where, like, I don't know if I said it last show, but I had a special sandwich. It was a wrap on a spinach wrap. Mm-hmm. But I knew, do not call it a spinach wrap.
No, because they won't eat it. Will they even eat it because it's green?
I've called it a green wrap, and they all ate it. They probably think it's just politically correct.
And it's like green food coloring or something.
Right. It's just a color.
That's funny.
Earlier in the week, I had pasta bar with meatballs, sausage, and bolognese.
Nice.
I realized.
Come have lunch.
Don't say bolognese.
No?
No, because they all would
say
go. And I would say, and I told the girl who was serving, don't say bolognese. Just say meat sauce. You'll love it.
Right.
And then one of the teachers came up and she was describing it, meatballs, sausage, and meat sauce. I go, that's okay. You can tell him it's bolognese.
Right.
He can handle it.
Yeah. An adult can handle it.
But they're just so, if the soup is not chicken noodle, broccoli, cheddar, tomato, you know.
If it's not like a...
They just don't eat it.
Well, hit or miss. But you know what, then you know what you're filling your repertoire of what they like, what they don't
like.
Yeah,
there's
you
about
know,
five
then
things.
You'll know what to do.
There's five things that they like. Ugh, it's really...
That sucks.
Getting to me.
It sucks.
But I went to... it's an art school, so they had a performance, the singers.
Uh-huh.
And so we got free tickets and we went, and it was kind of cool because I know of some of the kids that definitely are singers because they come in to the cafe singing. And, but there's some of them that I had no idea because they don't come in the cafe singing. And I would look up and go, oh my God, that's the kid that gets the extra sausage on his
right.
breakfast sandwiches and doesn't pay for it.
So were they good?
Oh my God, this kid does sounded like Harry Connick Jr.
Really?
And it's hilarious because they're so young. Mm-hmm. He was probably a sophomore or junior and, you know, didn't look older.
Mm-hmm.
And he was
belting it out.
I was
that's
like,
awesome.
Wow. Yeah,
that's
so
great.
There's some perks to it.
That's neat.
But let's talk about what you've got on the stove.
Yeah. So we're having an impromptu potluck dinner here tonight. Sort of came about rather quickly, like yesterday. Mm-hmm. And a friend, so you know Karen and Chester.
Yeah.
Chester does a lot of cooking for himself because Karen's a vegetarian, so he's cooking for himself. But he recently got an Instapot.
Yeah.
Which is like, it's a pressurized crock pot, basically, but it's like a pressure cooker.
Mm-hmm. And so a way to cook it faster than a crock pot?
Much faster.
Okay.
Yes, much faster.
Is it like an air thing? They have those
well, it's pressure. It's no, it's not like an air fryer. Is that what you mean? No. It's a pot that you put mostly liquid items in, and it pressurizes it, so it cooks really quickly. I mean, I think he cooks this dish in like 10 minutes or 20 minutes, you know, like quick.
Wow.
Meanwhile, I had the chicken was marinating in yogurt and spices since yesterday.
And I see you have garam masala on.
I was sharing the recipe with Vinny.
What's in garam masala again?
I was just looking it up because I was trying to
describe
it. It's got a ton of way more stuff than I thought was in it. Cumin, coriander, green and black cardamom, cinnamon, nutmeg, cloves, bay leaves, peppercorns, fennel, mace, and dried chilies.
Wow.
All of that.
That about covers
is
it,
in
doesn't
that.
It?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So it's called butter chicken. If you were, that's the Americanized name. If you were to say it in Hindi, it's murg makhani.
Would they use ghee in Indian cooking?
Yes,
or and we just use butter?
Yeah, but I used ghee. I clarified some butter. Not a big deal.
Right.
And I bought some naan because I'm going to serve it with that.
Of course.
And basically, it's so I used chicken thighs, boneless, skinless, and I cut them into pieces. Not pieces, pretty small pieces. You could do it with whole thighs. You could do it with bone-in thighs. You could do it with anything. And I marinated it in Greek yogurt with garam masala, a little bit of curry, garlic, ginger, and some turmeric. Mm-hmm. And it went, you know, I left it, it's probably 24 hours that it was marinating.
Mm-hmm.
And then put some ghee in my big old cast iron pot and browned the chicken real quickly, took it out. Then I put in a couple of onions. And this, so basically that's pretty much the chicken. Now you make the sauce to put the chicken back into. Mm-hmm. And there's a million different recipes. The one that I chose sounded interesting to me. So it's, you saute some onions, you put more garlic and more ginger and more garam masala and more cumin and turmeric. You can also put some hot chilies in at that point if you wanted to. I did not, because there's some people, Mario's had this like acid reflux thing happening, so he's steering away from spicy food. And you cook the onion or sweat the onions, put the garlic and the ginger just till it gets a little fragrant. Then you put in all those herbs and you let them toast a little bit. And then you put a combination of coconut milk and tomato paste.
Yum.
And you just, well, you can have some when we're done.
I'll just have a little taste of the sauce.
And you let that cook for a little bit. And then I use my immersion blender, zip it all up so it's, you know, thin.
Mm-hmm.
Put the chicken back in. And basically, you've just got to cook it until the chicken is done. So I probably cooked it, just simmered it for probably about 15 minutes, and I'll heat it up later on. But before it's served, you put in a little bit more yogurt, Greek yogurt, mixed with heavy cream and chopped cilantro, which Vinny just watched me do all that and put it in a little container. So that gets thrown
And the
later.
Vegetarian version for Vin would
well,
be
that's what I was
like
saying,
tempeh could, or...
No, I would do it with eggplant, cauliflower, potatoes.
Veggies, yeah.
Kale, like any vegetable combination, zucchini, anything. And just in that sauce.
Right.
And the sauce, because of the... Obviously because of the cream, but also because of the yogurt.
Uh-huh.
It's creamy and unguous and silky.
Nice.
Nice.
I've had it with the potatoes and the cauliflower. And
I actually love it. I don't miss meat. In a dish like this, I don't miss meat.
With all of the flavors.
With
all
those
spices.
Flavors and the creaminess. Like right. I'm a real texture person, so the texture of it makes a huge difference for me. But because
creaminess
it's so creamy. But it's, you know, it's
Do you have it
yogurt.
Over rice or just with the
No, not Mario is bringing home basmati rice.
Okay.
And I have naan, which... I never bought naan at ShopRite before. I've got it in the Mediterranean store. This naan is pretty cool. It's pretty nice looking. Yeah.
Is it with
stone fried whole grain?
It. Mm-hmm.
It's pretty nice, right?
Nice.
Yeah. So that's what we're having. I've heard back from a few people. Karen is making. I can't wait. She's making like a fish stew.
What kind?
Yum. I think cod. I think she's putting, I know she's not putting shrimp, clams, mussels, fish. I don't know. We'll find out.
Nice.
She comes later.
That's one of my favorite things.
Yeah. Mario's cousin is bringing what he called a stuffed pepper casserole. So I'm guessing, if I were to guess, what my take on a stuffed pepper casserole would be rice and ground beef and, you know, everything that's in a stuffed pepper and peppers all together, I guess. I don't know. We're going to find out.
Be a nice side dish.
Joanne, who is is Chester's sister, who I told you was having the big flood issue. She's been living here for about a week. week and a half with her puppy. She's got all that little pile of stuff back there. She's going to make a big, beautiful cheese plate.
Very nice.
Somebody
so how many people?
A salad. I think like 8. Like, not a big deal.
Nice.
Yeah. Although, what is a big deal is, you know, we usually have at Chambers Walk, we have our Christmas Eve with the big fish dinner.
Right. 7 fishes.
Yeah, because usually it's like 30 people. We just found out that it's only going to be like 16 people. So everybody's coming here instead of going to Chambers Walk.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we'll be nice. Mario just came home a little while ago with some 8-foot tables. I was trying to figure out how
Reduction in number?
Because some of his nieces and nephews are going to their in-laws, outlaws.
Right, just decided to give a turn to the other family.
A lot of my family isn't coming, so usually my brother and sister-in-law and their son come, one of my brothers, they come, my sister comes with a little entourage of people, my Uncle Joe comes, Joey comes, so like even just on my side of the family, there we're down like, you know, 9 people.
Right, right.
So, yeah.
Well, it'll be nice fun. It's nice when it's big, but it's nice when it's intimate.
Yeah, I hope so. We'll see. I'm looking forward to everybody being here. Not everybody's sort of been here at the same time. So, you know, we've had, since we moved here over 2 years ago, you know, his parents have been here, his siblings have been here at various times, but we haven't really had a big family dinner.
Love family dinner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll pull out my Christmas china, which I haven't used in probably, I want to say, 5 years.
Is it good china?
It's good. It's Spode. So I had like my fine china that I got when I got married, which back in our day, that's what people did. Mm-hmm. I think I used it maybe twice. And then my mother-in-law over the years would give me Spode Christmas stuff. So whenever I had a holiday get-together, it was always I just used the Spode.
When I was getting married in my late 20s, I opted, because I'm not a real fancy girl, gold rim plate type of thing, but I do like nice china and do like, you know. So Wedgwood made one, a pattern called Nantucket Basket. And it's just all white, and it's got the basket weave on the edge.
Is it a colored basket weave or white?
It's like just all white
on white.
White. Mm-hmm. And I love it.
Sounds
but
pretty.
I registered for it as my good china. And then I got something like from William Sonoma or something as my everyday.
Right.
And my sister-in-law had the audacity to register
the same
her Nantucket basket as her everyday.
Ugh.
I, at the time, Laura, I was so upset. I was pissed. I was like, how could she? Can you imagine giving a shit now?
No.
Can you imagine?
No, and actually, I told, you know, my one niece who loves this china, I told her, you can have it. Like, as soon as you have a, she's in an apartment now. I don't know that she has the room for it, but, and she's going to get like nice stuff because my mother would go crazy. She would buy like, I have so many serving pieces that go with this china because they would sell it. I don't know if it's, is it
with the Spode?
Galway? It's not Spode. No, it's my good china, which is, it might actually be, I don't know if it's Wedgwood. My sister would kill me that I don't know. It might be Minton. I don't know. I don't even like know china powder. Like it, this is so not me. But my mother used to buy, you know, I've got covered vegetable dishes and hors d'oeuvre plates and like all the platters and all the serving piece gravy bowls and
Which how often do you use that stuff?
I don't. I literally have used it twice in my entire life. Right. I think the first time I used it was our first wedding anniversary, because it was like, now I have a china closet full of all this stuff. Like, when the hell are we going to use it? So our first wedding anniversary, Mario and I had dinner. I made like, you know, I don't even think I made anything crazy. To be honest, I think I made beef Wellington. And I think I made a soup because I wanted to use the soup bowls. Like I tailored the meal around.
Gotta have gravy for the gravy bowl.
I need another vegetable because I got all these vegetable bowls.
Gotta put something in the tureen.
Exactly. Exactly. So stupid. But that was the first time I used it. And I think I used it one, maybe Christmas dinner. But
I know. We used to be so
into
all that
stuff. And nowadays,
I don't
even know. I mean, you know, my nieces, my sister-in-law is a very traditional woman, and they all, you know, she had them all set up with this and their china, and she does very traditional things. So I know that Laura Jean, you know, is interested, wants china. But nowadays, I don't think these young brides even, like, get fine china.
Probably not.
I don't think they do.
I think they get, they go, they I get mean, registered like Crate and Barrel or something.
And or then... any of my nieces and nephews, when they're going, you know, they have to buy a wedding gift or something. It's like, that's not something that's on people's registry.
Oh, I know, but back
they want
in,
cash for their honeymoon.
In our day.
They want, you know.
I don't know about you, but people were registering for, you know, $250 sterling silver like place
tea,
settings.
Or those tea sets. Remember those tea sets used to be? Think, who the hell uses those things?
God.
Nobody. I mean, maybe in the South when they have traditional, you
tea
know.
The tea and tea. They bring it out. And for me, everything had to be. I also had an obsession in my 20s with blue and white.
Okay.
So from anywhere from Spode to any of the nicer, you know, brands of china, had to have everything blue and white, like the Wedgwood.
Actually, mine
blue.
Is blue and white.
And I was obsessed with it. And silver. Had to, everything had to be silver. I couldn't stop buying silver. I couldn't always afford sterling, but I would get silver plate. Now, right. I hate it all.
Well, I have to say, Mario and I are going on 36 years married, and my everyday dishes are the same everyday dishes I've had for 36 years. They're Dansk. They're white with blue. And I've gotten some other pieces, like the mosaics, like they came out with corresponding pieces, and I have some of those, but it's the same freaking plates I've had. It has lasted all these years. It's indestructible, literally indestructible. And you could put it in the oven, you could put it in the microwave. I have some serving dishes. I don't have a lot of serving dishes, but I think it's awesome that it's the same thing.
And absolutely.
I'm not changing it. Why do I have to change it?
So we have to go to break, but when we get back, could you help me create my Christmas Eve
absolutely.
Menu?
Yeah.
Because I'm open. I don't know if I'm going to do seven fishes.
I will
but...
pull up mine and at least we'll compare notes.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
Attention all timeshare owners. Is this what you'd like to do with your timeshare contract? Do you own a timeshare and just want out? Thousands of timeshare owners are getting out of their timeshare contracts. With the help of Timeshare Compliance, Timeshare Compliance can legally terminate, tear up, shred, eliminate, trash your timeshare agreement, ending your payments forever, saving you thousands. So whether you're a victim of a high-pressure, dishonest sales agent, or you were misled with what you were buying, or you overpaid and they underdelivered, call Timeshare Compliance now for a free consultation. With one simple call, the trusted professionals at Timeshare Compliance can legally rip up your timeshare agreement and help rip up your financial suffering. You could save thousands. Call now before another payment is due. Timeshare Compliance is A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. Call 800-726-5390. 800-726-5390. 800-726-5390.
And welcome back to Food for Thought. We're talking Christmas Eve food.
Oh, Christmas Eve food. So how many are you going to be?
Small number.
Yeah.
Small number, like 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, yeah, 8.
Nice. That's perfect.
So we've done in the past.
At your house or at
Old my Ranch house? At my house. And we've done in the past,
you
know.
Have two homes.
Yes, I'm living between two homes. In the past, you know, when we were younger, we really did the seven fishes based on the Italian tradition, because this is back when I thought I was Italian, found out I wasn't, but my grandfather always used to do the classics, you know, the
baccalà,
smelts, linguine with clam sauce. Sometimes he would do a crab something, you know, like crab with a crab sauce or crab ravioli.
Nice.
Squid and conch salad.
Yum.
Can't
beat a good seafood salad.
So I don't know how many yeah, that was, but you know, always the traditional Italians. And then as the tradition went on and we sort of took over, we would incorporate some of the traditional Italian, but then would have other fishes that weren't Italian at all. Right. Just kind of did a fusion. So what do you think?
Well, I'll tell you what we're having. Or this is the list that's been on my phone for probably 10 years. So this is basically what I always do. Except this year, because we are a smaller group and we're not at the restaurant, I think we're going to abbreviate this a little bit because it's always so much food.
Right.
So I definitely still want to have the fried calamari and fried smelts.
Mm.
Except we're going to be doing it differently because this is one of the reasons, in addition to the fact that there were more people attending and we needed more room,
mm-hmm.
I like doing it at the restaurant because I didn't really feel like being frying fish in the house.
Yeah, and there's
and
a deep fat fryer.
And
yeah,
fryer's there, and it's easy. Just
and
do it
can get hot enough.
It gets really hot.
Yeah.
So we're going to abbreviate this a little bit. We're still going to have it, but I think he's going to start it at work. And we'll just, you know, put it on racks and heat it up here quickly. Because mm-hmm. I'm not getting into frying fish now.
No.
A shrimp cocktail, just traditional sauce.
Mm-hmm.
Crab and wild mushroom cheesecake, which I think have you had that before? It's really good. Oh, so good. Obviously, it's a savory cheesecake, but it's pretty much the same texture and creaminess of a regular New York cheesecake, except no sweetness. And it has onions and scallions and crab meat and wild mushrooms. So picture that, spreading that on a cracker. Yumma.
Yum.
Cumin cured salmon, which is a house like Gravlax that we make all the time at the restaurant, but I don't think we're going to have that. Shrimp and artichoke dip, which is something that my grandmother used to make and then my mother would make. But I don't think, because, you know, my sister's...
Tell me how you do the shrimp and crab meat. I mean, shrimp and...
Small shrimp. Sometimes we would get 16-20s and cut them into pieces, but it works just as well with smaller shrimp.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically you make almost like a remoulade mm-hmm. with a little bit of onion, mayonnaise, sour cream, parsley, little bit of garlic, not a lot of garlic.
Artichoke hearts.
A little bit of relish and artichoke hearts. And it all gets mixed up together. It's almost like the sauce is like a remoulade.
So is it a hot?
No, it's cold.
Oh, it's a cold.
Serve it with like the small cocktail rise or the cocktail pumpernickels.
Okay.
Super delicious. You know.
Wow.
Hello. Mayonnaise, sour cream, onions. What could be bad? We do, and we will be doing the three pastas. So it's pasta with red sauce, pasta with anchovies, which is literally my favorite meal of the entire year.
Mm-hmm.
And because there's kids, we usually do one with just butter and cheese. Lobster tails, which we crack down the back, pull the meat out, and put it back on the top of the shell.
Little ones?
No, you know, regulation
pretty big.
Size. Regulation size. So we crack the shells, pull them. You know how you can pull the meat
yeah.
out and you just rest it
on top
of the shell?
Mm-hmm.
And then I heat up super slowly just butter and garlic. And then I squeeze a bunch of lemon juice in it. And I brush that over the cold lobster tails. And they go in the broiler for not even five, 10 minutes, not even. Bacala stew, which is delicious. I love it. I make it. Multiple times a year because I love it so much.
I wonder if maybe what I should do, because your bacala stew I've always wondered about and I can't seem to plan far enough in advance to be soaking the salt cod for 3 days, but I'm off this year, maybe if I start tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. 21, 22, 23, you're good.
So can you text me
yeah,
the recipe?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, I don't really have a recipe. I just...
Right. I mean, the basic concept.
I'll tell you real quick what I do.
Okay.
I saute a whole bunch of leeks.
Okay.
A ton of leeks. Whites and greens. And I put in a little bit of garlic.
Now, when you say whites and greens, you know how I've always been told, you know, white part only. But I always
I
do into
the greens.
The green.
I love the greens.
But not the dark.
Not the
pale
the three
green.
Inches on the end of the stalk.
Right,
yeah,
but the pale part.
The pale
part.
Green, absolutely.
Yeah.
But I do cut that because it's more fibrous. I mince that finer than I would the whites.
The whites, okay. Yeah. Okay.
And I'm talking like for the batch that I'm going to make, I'm probably going to use a dozen leeks.
Really?
Yeah. It's got to be leek heavy. That's how Mario's grandmother made it. So I make it like she made it. So sauteed leeks, Into that, a little bit of garlic, cubed potatoes, crushed tomatoes, not a lot. It's not very red, just a few crushed tomatoes or just fresh tomatoes diced up.
So it's not very red.
It is not very red.
So what's the, is it fish stock or what's in
fish
there?
Fish stock is the next thing I was going to say. Yep, fish stock. And, you know, we bone a lot of salmons at work and I make a lot of fish. We have fish fumet all the time. So fish stock and black olives, kalamatas, pitted.
Kalamatas, okay. Yep.
And that's it. And you let that cook. I haven't put the fish in yet. You let that cook.
Right, let the base cook.
You know, half an hour or so.
Or even do that the day before.
You could do, I actually like to do the whole thing the day before.
Right, and then let it
and let it slowly get cold and then reheat it just because the flavors marry so much easier.
Right.
So I cook that down. So it's basically the leeks, a little bit of garlic, tomatoes, potatoes, stock. Cook that down. Let it simmer. Let the potatoes until the potatoes are kind of tender. Mm-hmm. Then I put in chunked up bacala that I've been
soaking and rinsing.
I usually do three rinses a day, morning, noon, and night.
Wow.
I know, it's time consuming.
What a commitment. This is why I don't do this.
You know, I'm at work and it's soaking in there. And
right.
I'm
well,
I'm in the middle of doing something else. I dump it out.
I definitely think, I mean, that's one that I, in addition to your grandmother's minestrone soup, those are two recipes that I thought I really, I've never done them and I'm sure they're great.
It's so delicious. I mean, it's so good. So then you put the fish in, you know, let it just cook through and then I turn it off. And then I reheat it the following day. I mean, you can serve it the same day, obviously, but I think just because I'm preparing so much stuff, it's easier just to make it. I know it's going to even get better the next day.
Right.
So that's bacala stew. And my favorite is to have the pasta with the anchovies, a little bit of that in the bowl, and then a scoop of the bacala stew on top of it.
Oh, now you're talking.
Woo! Heaven.
Now you're talking. Now, do you use with your pasta with anchovies, do you use the good anchovies?
Nope.
Like the white ones?
Nope.
Plain old canned salty,
salted,
salty.
Salty, salty.
Probably
and
better for that
giant
kind of dish.
Can that's like, you know, it's literally the size of a brick. That covered in oil with about 6 or 7 garlic cloves in there and just heat it super slowly. Breaking them up as you go periodically.
No capers?
No.
No.
Just that. Oil,
okay.
Anchovies, garlic, done.
I would like that one, but that's hard with the picky. I don't have a group that likes everything and they're going to turn their noses up.
If people taste it, they think it's delicious. And then they find out it's anchovies and they're like, oh, I don't like it.
Right.
How many people love Caesar dressing? But they don't realize what's making that taste so nutty and salty and delicious is the anchovy.
Yeah.
So another thing we're probably not going to make this year, I usually make stuffed flounder. I make a stuffing with mushrooms, like a mushroom duxelle basically with spinach in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, make a pocket in the filet or I'll put a large filet on the bottom and flip it over the top of the stuffing. And that I just put lemon and butter on. Clams and mussels. I don't know if he's doing that. He's in charge of that and usually just does it in red sauce. Then we have, of course, because his family always had beef Christmas Eve. Like we always just had fish. Mm. But his family always has a filet. So we have a tenderloin. And then there's all kinds of vegetables. There's green beans. There's Brussels sprouts. There's salad. There's that's pretty much Christmas Eve. So again, we're probably not doing. We're definitely doing calamari. We're definitely doing smelts, shrimp cocktail, maybe the shrimp and artichoke dip, and that's it for apps. And then the pastas, lobster, bacala stew, maybe the clams and mussels. That's it.
Well, what I might try to do is do the bacala stew. Because I've got a couple kids that are coming, older kids that are not big into fish. So as long as I have other choices, but if I did maybe just a regular pasta with marinara on the table, some meat,
There'll be enough of a choice. They'll,
you know, maybe even try to do a small version of the anchovy pasta. And
do
those
it.
Of us
Only
who.
Only because it's so delicious.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Oh, fresh man. Pasta, right?
You know what? Usually, but for this, no, because my mother-in-law would always just use it's at a brand that you can only get in an Italian. It's from Italy. I don't even know the name of the brand. It's like a no-name Italian. She buys it in the Italian market in Trenton.
Uh-huh.
It's good, you know, cooked al dente. It's pasta's pasta.
Pasta's pasta. I mean, fresh pasta's okay.
Fresh pasta's delicious. I'm not finicky. I like everything. You know, I'm super not a picky person.
I think it's just a different experience. Totally different experience. The fresh pasta.
Yeah. I don't know. I like all pasta. I'm really not finicky.
I'll make some nudie.
Given the... there you go. There you go.
What's the nudie?
You can have nudie.
Is gnocchi.
Gnocchi, yeah.
But you don't make it with potatoes. You make it with ricotta. So it's basically what you ravioli. Would put in a ravioli filling, uh-huh. But it's just the interior.
It's
so
boiled.
It's just ricotta, eggs, a little bit of flour, salt, and pepper. That's it.
And so it's like a dumpling.
Like a doughy consistency, and you make a big, long snake of it, and you cut little pieces so it looks like gnocchi. Uh-huh. But it doesn't have the starchy potato. You know how gnocchi you can maybe eat? A half a portion, and it's like lead bullets in your stomach.
No, but it's
no,
so
nudie.
Good.
You can just eat a big old bowl.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Delicious.
Because I think everybody would like nudie.
We serve it at work with pumpkin and like a sage butter, a cubed pumpkin. Oh my god, it's so fucking delicious. Sorry,
you just f-bombed in the middle of a food description.
We're allowed to.
It's okay. It's a poetic.
You just
license.
couldn't help it.
Poetic so license.
How about dessert?
Dessert. I usually make my Bûche de Noël. I'll make a vanilla one and a chocolate one, which is basically a Genoise. It's like a sponge cake, and I put either a chocolate whipped cream or a plain Chantilly cream, rolled up, and then you ice it with chocolate, so it's like a giant yodel. It's like a giant, like, devil, which is a devil dog. No, it's like a yodel, right? A yodel hot chocolate, yes. Chocolate on the outside. Yeah, that's basically what it is. So I usually make two of those. I don't know. We'll see. I got a lot of other stuff going on. I'm still Christmas shopping.
How about your remember your yodel tiramisu?
My tiramisu? Yeah, that's not happening.
She didn't have, well, tiramisu has got the
no,
angel.
It was a twink misu.
Oh, Twinkie. That's what I meant.
Twink, Missus.
She,
yeah,
she
I was
didn't...
making, I was planning on making, I don't know why, like I just didn't go to the store. I don't know. It's so many, it's literally 25 years ago. And I ended up making, instead of getting lady fingers, I ended up making tiramisu with Twinkies. Because it's a sponge cake.
Yeah,
like, what's the big difference?
Right.
It was delicious. It was delicious. So I already have 6 different types of Christmas cookies made.
Of course you do.
You're welcome to taste them before you leave. They're all in there. I made a batch of cracker candy.
Oh,
yeah. I have
yeah.
little truffles. You know, I have little sweets around. Mm-hmm. So maybe if I have time, I'll make a Bûche de Noël or a tiramisu or something.
Wow, you are busy.
Wow, that's
so
right.
Yeah, and I just got thrown for a loop because literally like 11 of my presents for employees were supposed to be mm-hmm. here today mm-hmm. on the 20th.
Right.
And they're not coming until like the 29th. So I literally like canceled the order and I've got to go buy gifts for 11 more people. Mm. So that's fun.
It'll all work out.
It will all work out. I'm 3/4 of the way done with my list. Thankfully, this year, we're on my side of the family. We're just buying for the kids, and we all picked like a secret Santa, you know, picked a name out of a hat. Mm-hmm. On Mario's side of the family, we always did that. We just picked a name out of a hat as the kids, you know, as everyone got older. But now we are doing this thing annually. We go to the Ronald McDonald House as a family and cook lunch.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, we're just doing that.
Cook lunch there?
Yeah, we cook lunch there for the residents and the, you know,
what
the families
day?
Of the... We don't know. We've got to get on their schedule. But we did it last year, and it was a lot of fun.
Nice.
Yeah, really fun. You know, we cooked everything. Some of us cooked before we got there. Like, we had lasagna, meatballs, sausage. It was like a big Italian feast. And we served lunch to all the families and kids that were, you know, Ronald McDonald House, or kids that are having medical issues, and Ronald McDonald House puts them up in their house, feeds them, puts them up. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, however, there was probably like 50 people there at the time. So it was fun.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really fun. So that's what we're doing.
So do you have any...
We're actually out of time.
Okay.
Sorry,
when we come back,
we're off and didn't say
anything. I wanted to see if we have any restaurants to talk about.
Yeah, sure.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. When we come back.
We're back.
Let's talk restaurants. Now, we're not going to focus too much on the location because this is a national show, but this restaurant happens to be in Princeton,
New Jersey.
Okay. And it's called
The Meeting House.
And I assume what you're frantically doing is getting it up on your phone.
Trying to get there.
I'm always curious to see what these new menus are.
I've heard a couple of reviews. It was a restaurant before this, but I think they did a lot of.
Where is it?
It's right on Witherspoon Street.
Cool.
On Lower Witherspoon Street, and it's. I've heard some mixed things about it. Now, you know as well
it's
as
not
I
always
know,
good.
When it first opens, there's usually a lot of bugs that need to get worked out.
Right.
So apparently, some of the bugs that need to get worked out was their service. Because I heard three people on three separate occasions and say, oh my gosh, like they got to get their shit together. Like, not good at all. Yeah. So it's, you know, they apparently have a really nice wine list. They have a nice selection, a broad selection. I'm still looking for the darn menu. American comfort food dishes focusing on seasonal ingredients such as fried chicken with biscuits, rotisserie chicken, mashed potatoes, pork shank. Cauliflower salad, like comfort kind of food.
Not my thing.
Yeah, it's my thing. They have a burger that's supposed to be
okay.
Really
well, how
good.
Much are they charging for the fried chicken?
Yeah.
You know,
it's 104 seats.
Okay.
Big.
I thought you were going to say it was $104 for the fried chicken.
No,
would not be shocked.
But there's also a 20-person space and a 75-person space.
Wow.
So it used to be like the restaurant that was here before this, the entire place was open. It was like you were in a hangar, an airport, you know, it was huge. So at least, you know, at least they've changed the atmosphere
right.
A little bit. So we'll see. We'll give it a try. Actually, I'm going to get in touch with them, see if they want to do a taping.
Well, yeah. What I find with these, you know, there's a place that opened, I won't mention it, but I was very excited that they were opening, and it's near my house, and they did this amazing job renovating the building. It was charming, charming, charming.
Mm-hmm.
They do a prefix menu just on Sunday nights. Like, I was hoping they were going to be open for dinner. Mm-hmm. And one of the first ones... I just went to check out the menu, mm-hmm. and it's a BYOB,
right.
So it was $48 a head,
uh-huh.
and the main entree was fried chicken.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
That was the only, like, that was it. Now, of course, I'm sure it would be probably the best fried chicken I've ever had, and all of the different courses would be, you know, interesting, but no.
Yeah.
Not paying $100 for fried chicken for two, mm-hmm. regardless of whatever, however wonderful it is. I'm just not a comfort food kind of gal. And if if I am going to have comfort food, I don't want to spend a lot of money on it.
No, of course not.
No.
So I finally pulled up their menu. So some of the starters are marinated olives for $8, Rhode Island calamari with pickled peppers, lemon, and a romesco sauce, $14. Sweet pea guacamole, $13.
What?
Sweet pea guacamole.
So does that mean avocado-less guacamole?
I'm sure it's probably peas and guacamole, I would say, but perhaps not. Maybe it's just peas.
Just peas? All right.
We make a pea. Well, we don't call it a guacamole, though. We make a pea hummus with chickpeas and pea, green peas.
Right.
Some of the salads. They've got a house salad. They've got a beet salad, a quinoa salad, grilled cauliflower, octopus, Spanish octopus with baby arugula, fingerling potatoes, and paprika oil. That sounds good. Big eye tuna salad.
How much is the big eye tuna?
Big eye tuna salad's $14.
Oh.
They have flatbreads, different assorted flatbreads, one with mushrooms, one with mozzarella, one's with rotisserie chicken. Some of the mains are black sea bass, $28. That's kind of normal. Scottish salmon with a lentil stew, roasted carrots, again, a romesco sauce. I hate repeating sauces on things.
to me, it's not a good, does not read well on a menu. I'm sorry.
No. Sea scallops with roasted cauliflower puree, a winter pesto, that's $27. There's a vegan dish of the day, rotisserie chicken, mashed potatoes, Brussels sprouts, salsa verde is $19. That's cheap. Fried chicken, brine chicken, apple coleslaw, biscuits, and chili honey, $18. I mean, it's not that all that expensive. Pork shanks, yum.
Big I don't relish, think I've ever 25. Made. I don't know if I've ever made a pork shank. No. I've made ossobuco. I've made lamb shanks. But what do the pork shanks look like? Do they look like the ossobuco?
It's the same part of the shank. Yeah, it looks. Exactly
looks like ossobuco. It's just pork.
Yeah.
I should do that.
Boneless short ribs, yummy, with cheesy polenta and grilled mushrooms and a demi, $27. It's all right. Skirt steak, meeting house burger, cheddar, crispy bacon, house sauce, and house cut fries, $13.
All right.
It sounds pretty reasonable, right?
Typical burger price.
Sides are roasted carrots, creamy mashed potatoes, Brussels sprouts, polenta, charred broccoli, and mac and cheese. So
for the little ones, right?
For the well, no, mostly big ones nowadays, and big and wide, big and big.
I was told
I could have a forkful. I mean,
of mac and cheese.
You can't have more than that. It's obscene.
I've been elbow deep in mac and cheese these days, and to add insult to injury, elbows.
Just elbows.
Oh yeah.
And the cheese is.
It's from, okay, this is what I was told. Now, the first day, the first week, we had mac and cheese, and I was starting to make
the bechamel
right. To start. And this one guy's looking at me, shaking his head, going, because I've got one little induction burner,
right?
Okay, to boil the pasta, make the bechamel. Right. And he goes, you need to stop right now. And he brings out this big number 10 can of cheddar cheese sauce, and I go, no. And he said, I'm sorry, but there's no way. I appreciate you doing all the scratch cooking or your attempt to do so. But especially in the beginning, until we get our equipment, you know, you've got to do it this way. So here I am opening this, you know,
can of bright orange. The sauce doesn't take that long to make. You set it aside and then you do your pasta. Like, what's the big deal?
It's a big deal when you have one induction burner.
I know, but if you make the sauce and then put that aside.
But Laura, I don't even have a big enough. I've got a one pot like this.
Okay.
You know, like I'd need a stock pot like that to make a big batch of enough sauce. These kids, this is all they want. So I have to, I go through like six hotel pans. And so what I
get your equipment. Getting it in the near future?
Oh, I've been told, you know, it's 2 months now, still waiting for the freezer, still waiting for the extra refrigerator, one little induction burner, bottom part of our convection oven doesn't work.
Do you want to take some
of my shows to work? No. I have already taken my own Cuisinart. We also, there's not a lot of counter space, so even if we had a lot of induction burners, nowhere to put them.
Right.
So it's challenging, you know, it's definitely a challenging kitchen, but what I have learned, and it's actually not too bad. I take the the crappy bright orange.
Is it quote orange? Unquote? Is it really
bright? It's like or it's like yellow orange.
Is it like the crappy sauce they put like on nachos?
Yes.
Ew, yuck.
So I take that and I add to it some eggs, some milk, and then a ton of shredded cheddar cheese.
All right, so you doctor it a
bit. So I doctor it quite a bit. And it's not too bad. I mean, it's not my mother's mac and cheese, the one that I really like, the real thing, but it's closer and they love it. And they top it with buffalo chicken and bacon. Which they love. The other thing that we did, I probably talked about it, but they told me this about this thing.
I would have a gallbladder.
This is one of the other chefs. There was another two chefs that were.
No, yours is gone now, right?
There were two chefs that were helping me start up. Have you ever heard of walking nachos?
Yes, of course. We had this conversation.
We did. So they open up their bag.
I think they're delicious.
Walking nachos?
Yes. Vinny, it's disgusting.
So when I was in Kentucky setting up for my best friend's son's wedding.
Right.
The mother of the bride brought all this, like crock pots and stuff was in this little ante room when we were setting up at the wedding venue.
Right.
And she had I never heard of them before. She had a crock pot full of like taco meat. Uh-huh. Then I think she actually had another one that was really yummy that had like chicken in it.
Uh-huh.
And you open up, but she had like bigger, it wasn't like literally in the bag. She had like other bags that you could put it in or little, those little cardboard boats. Like, yeah, that's what it was. It wasn't like you could use a fork.
Okay, this was like a Doritos
bag.
Literally,
they open a Doritos bag and they put spoonfuls of the chili or the whatever, chicken or whatever in there with cheese and they like
shake it up. They shake it up.
I'm telling you what,
and my kids pay $6 for it.
Delicious.
The kids, and we just did like a real basic nacho meat. We don't put very much of it at all, and just a little bit of cheddar cheese, and we shake it up, and they think it's the best thing ever. Those little bags of chips actually cost $1 each.
Right.
And it's the easiest thing to do for, you know, 60 to 100 portions. I won't do it. Because I think it's just stupid.
Yeah. Well, maybe you'll.
Use a tray boat.
Use Joe's mother-in-law, like a
tray boat.
Cardboard boat.
And I do the same concept with the mac and cheese. I take that horrible sauce and I add a lot of cheese to it.
Right.
Just to get so it has that nice flavor, but it's still got the creaminess that a lot of them want. And I put it over the chips and then I put the meat on it and they can grab their little sides of salsa and guacamole. Like that's what I'll do, but I can't do those little bags anymore. It's silly.
It's and plus it's like messy and yucky.
And it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But anyway.
It has to get messy.
Yeah, of course. You've got chili and cheese smashed all over everything. Like and you're eating it out of a bag.
So I went to a restaurant. This one is in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, where I work. It's called Molinari's. And it's one of those, you know, they have, again, you know, these little small plates to start, some marinated olives. You can get a little focaccia bread. You could also get arancini. And they actually flavored their arancini with beets and goat cheese. So they were actually kind of...
You lost me at goat cheese.
It was, or maybe it wasn't goat. It was some kind of cheese. I know what you're saying, but it was some kind of cheese and very little of it. It wasn't very cheesy. Mm-hmm. And so they were fried and they kind of looked red. You know, you could see the red through the breading. So it was good. We had a couple of apps.
Was there sauce with them?
No sauce. Okay. But they were very rich.
I like to dip my arancini. I like that sauce.
I have never been big into arancini.
Oh, I love them.
Aren't they a lot? There's a lot of work to make. And
it's rice.
Also, if you have deep fat fryer,
it's
easy.
You make rice. You put some
eggs
stuff in it.
I know. Bread it.
Put it
fry
in the freezer
it.
For 20 minutes. You take it out. You make a little ball.
Maybe I'll do that. Maybe because I'm... But
my
again,
father used to like them. I used to put a little teeny piece of ham and a little piece of mozzarella in the center of it when I rolled it up. So it was like, take a bite and it would be gooey in there.
Maybe. Yummy. Maybe. And then
rice
we also
balls, aren't they called?
Yeah, rice,
rice
balls.
Balls.
Yeah. Well, arancini. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Arancini is sexier.
Italian rice balls. Yeah. Somebody, does your sister make them, or they're pretty traditional?
Yeah, I think my sister made them quite a few times, but I've also remember getting them in stores, you know, or in festivals or whatever. When
they have them
in the streets.
Absolutely. Yeah,
the rice balls.
My cousin Betty makes them; they're delicious.
You get agita from it, though.
Do you get agita?
The frying kills
cheesy
it.
Frying.
But it's a great way to utilize leftover rice.
Absolutely.
And you can also freeze them, rock solid, and then just make, take a few out, fry them up, keep them frozen.
Yep.
Maybe I'll splurge and I'll do that.
And if you have a fry later, you don't actually have to put the breadcrumbs on them. If you freeze them, you just can roll it in flour or roll it in egg and just.
Well, what kind of deep fat fryer do you use when you're home?
I don't fry at home.
I find the home fryers don't get hot enough.
I only fry at work.
Yeah. They don't get hot enough. They get to 350.
I don't really eat fried food, to be honest.
Well, neither do I, but I'm saying for like a catering job or something like that. Then we had a pizza with really good fresh mozzarella, broccoli rabe, kale, and sausage.
Sounds good.
And we just got our little apps, and we started to discuss the details of Christmas and what we were doing.
Right.
And we got in a giant fight.
Oh, no. About Christmas?
Yes.
Oh, God. Sounds like Mario and I had a fight about our Christmas tree.
So, like, 80 bucks later, it's like you're ending your meal. You're like, all right, should we go to the concert? I don't know if I want to go. All right, let's try to salvage the evening. We went. So then we enjoyed the concert, but then we went into fight mode again on the way home. So it's like I don't go out that much.
That's
it was such a tragedy.
That's crazy. So we're running out of time, guys.
Oh, no.
We are.
So let's work on next week is a holiday week. Are we going to be able to do the show?
We'll have to figure it out.
Okay. Let's try to do a taping.
We will try to do that.
At that, whatever that place is called.
We'll get in touch with them.
Okay.
Have a happy Christmas, everyone. Enjoy your holidays. Happy Hanukkah. We will be back
next week on Food for Thought.
See ya.
Bye-bye. Happy Christmas.